giving the game away, the criminocracy's fatal own goal. Imagine for a moment that you are part of the criminocracy. Yes, I know that's not easy for anyone with a modicum of self-respect, ethics or humanity, but try to put yourselves there nonetheless. Okay, now imagine that for whatever self-destructive reason, you want to bring down that criminocracy from within by exposing its noxious nature to the general public. What would be the best way to go about that, do you think? A good plan might be to launch some kind of grandiose project, packed full of profitable possibilities to be carried out by one of the institutions you control. This would set out to smear and criminalise your critics and ostensibly pave the way for legislation and restrictions that would silence their voices. But your cunning plan would involve letting slip that a particular report produced by one of your other organisations was a major influence on this grandiose project. And through the background and activities of the people involved in this other organisation, the real agenda behind the project and all its propaganda would quickly become clear to anyone who took even a cursory look. You would then, accidentally on purpose, have shattered the wall of invisibility surrounding your criminocracy and left it vulnerable to righteous revolt from the vast majority of the population. If you think this self-sabotaging scenario seems somewhat unlikely, I would point you in the direction of the EU strategy on combating anti-Semitism and fostering Jewish life 2021 to 2030. This decidedly grandiose scheme is described by the EU as, quote, an ambitious and comprehensive strategy, end quote. It declares, quote, generations after the end of the Shoah, anti-Semitism is worryingly on the rise in Europe and beyond. Anti-Semitism is incompatible with Europe's core values. It represents a threat not only to Jewish communities and to Jewish life, but to an open and diverse society, to democracy and the European way of life. The European Union is determined to put an end to it. End quote. We learn that the strategy involves three pillars and, quote, seeks to place the EU firmly in the lead of the global fight against anti-Semitism, complementing measures within the EU with international efforts all along the three pillars. End quote. Pillar one is, quote, preventing and combating all forms of anti-Semitism, end quote, with the aim of, quote, a European Union free from anti-Semitic hate speech and hate crime online and offline, end quote. Obviously, this is all about censorship. Indeed, the intent is described as to, quote, strengthen the fight against online anti-Semitism by supporting the establishment of a Europe-wide network of trusted flaggers and Jewish organisations in line with the Code of Conduct. It will also support the European Digital Media Observatory and its national hubs to increase the capacity of their fact-checkers on disinformation and will work with independent organisations to develop counter-narratives, including in non-EU languages. End quote. The big question here is what exactly will be regarded as anti-Semitic by these trusted flaggers and fact-checkers on disinformation, a point we will come back to later. Pillar two is, quote, protecting and fostering Jewish life in the EU, end quote, creating, quote, a European society aware of Jewish life, culture and history, past and present, and where Jews feel safe, end quote. Pillar three is, quote, education, research and Holocaust remembrance, end quote, aiming for, quote, a Europe that remembers its past and looks into the future through research and education, end quote. Alongside the propagandistic purposes clearly implied by both these pillars comes the ever-important issue of what the EU terms, quote, funding opportunities, end quote. It declares that, quote, the implementation of the proposed policy measures and targeted actions will be supported through various EU funding programmes under the current multi-annual financial framework 2021 to 2027, end quote. The project stands to receive European taxpayers' money from no fewer than 10 different EU funding programmes. Top of the list is the, quote, Citizens Equality Rights and Values, CERV programme, end quote, with a budget of 1.55 billion euros. But the cash will also be flooding in via the Justice Programme, Horizon Europe, Creative Europe, Erasmus Plus, the EU Internal Security Fund, the Cohesion Policy Funds, the Neighbourhood Development and International Cooperation Instrument, the Instrument for Pre-Accession Assistance, and the Technical Support Instrument. In charge of the grandiose project is Katharina von Schnurbein, who was appointed the first European Commission Coordinator on Combating Anti-Semitism and Fostering Jewish Life in December 2015. Although she's not Jewish, her parents were, quote, ardent supporters of Israel, end quote, and she has made a career out of drawing attention to an alleged rise in anti-Semitism. The Electronic Intifada website wrote in 2018, quote, "The German official has used her EU perch in a tireless campaign to smear defenders of Palestinian human rights. She has pushed for the wide adoption of an official definition of anti-Semitism supported by Israel lobby groups that falsely equates criticism of Israel and its discriminatory state ideology, Zionism, with anti-Jewish bigotry. She has smeared the non-violent boycott, divestment and sanctions BDS movement for Palestinian rights by claiming, without offering a shred of evidence, that, quote, anti-Semitic incidents rise after BDS activities on campuses," end quote. Asked in a 2016 article how her post came to be created, von Schnurbein replied, tellingly, quote, "European Jewry, as well as the State of Israel, has been calling for this position for some time, given the recent rise in anti-Semitism," end quote. But what were the origins of this perception of a rise in anti-Semitism that justified the creation of her post and her appointment to it? In a 2019 piece singing her praises, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency declared, quote, "Some of the most shocking headlines about anti-Semitism in Europe since 2015 came from the work promoted by von Schnurbein, who began working at the European Union in 2002 as a press officer," end quote. The article quotes the chief rabbi of Rome as saying that during her tenure, quote, "anti-Semitism has exploded," end quote, and that this was meant as a compliment. The great achievement of her relentless efforts was to have, quote, "generated headlines that drew considerable attention to the problem that she was hired to fight, amplifying its footprint in the media and government," end quote. Von Schnurbein insisted, quote, "because we are looking into it, it is more visible," end quote. In other words, she had worked for years to whip up a problem for which a solution had to be provided, namely the creation of the post of EU anti-Semitism czar, long sought by the Israel lobby, her appointment to this post, and the launch of the current grandiose project. An important part of this manipulator's mission is to fend off criticism of the Israeli state and its backers by depicting this as some kind of hate crime. She maintained in 2017, quote, "anti-Semitism hides behind anti-Zionism," end quote. And she has long called for restrictions on people's right to express views of which she and her friends disapprove. Von Schnurbein said in the 2016 interview, "One of the priorities now is to tackle online hate speech. We recently initiated a European dialogue with IT companies. Then we will ensure the enforcement of existing EU legislation, which includes the Holocaust denial ban. We will also work closely with NGOs that are helping to prevent and combat, among other things, anti-Semitism through projects. We currently have an open call for €5.5 million to tackle hate crime and hate speech," end quote. Once again, the enticing glitter of funding opportunities lights up the hate-filled gloom. For all these efforts, von Schnurbein has been lauded by Lawrence Weinbaum, director of the World Jewish Congress's Israel Council on Foreign Relations, as the, quote, "indefatigable heroine of the struggle for many of us," end quote. But von Schnurbein's dishonest agenda doesn't stop there. In recent years, she's been talking about the threat of new forms of anti-Semitism that have allegedly emerged in response to the COVID manoeuvre. In a June 2023 Jerusalem Post article, she sought to depict anything that could be described as conspiracy theory as necessarily tainted with anti-Semitism. Quote, "where conspiracy grows, anti-Semitism has already grown," end quote, she said. The article adds, quote, As for conspiracy theories that are publicised on social media, von Schnurbein cited the COVID-19 pandemic, in which conspiracy theories about Jewish involvement in the spread of the disease resulted in so many fatalities, end quote. This is a truly puzzling statement. What on earth is it referring to? She told the same story in an interview with Politico, claiming that there had been a huge increase in anti-Jewish racism in online spaces during the scamdemic. Quote, it really exploded, and I think we saw that many of the old conspiracy myths, the old ideas, were repackaged. How quickly this increased was really shocking, she said, end quote. The only cited evidence for von Schnurbein's claims was that a recent study commissioned by the EU's Directorate General for Justice found that when it comes to anti-Jewish hate on Telegram, Twitter and Facebook, there was a 13-fold increase in German language posts and a 7-fold increase in French ones during the pandemic. End quote. So what is this report? What kind of anti-Jewish hate does it identify? And what kind of people produced it? I'll get into that in the next part.